Please join me in the responsive call to worship printed in your liturgies. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Let all that is within me praise his holy name. As for us, our days are like the grass. But the steadfast love of God is from everlasting to everlasting. The grass withers and the flower fades. Bless the Lord, O my soul, bless the Lord. Our God, the God who meets us here, is a compassionate God. He hears our cries, and he bandages up our wounds. And he greets us, saying, "Grace, mercy, and peace to you, from God the Father, from Christ his Son, through the mighty and powerful work of his Holy Spirit."
Amen.
Welcome, everyone, to our evening service at LaGrave Avenue Christian Reformed Church. We're glad to see all of you here. Tonight's service is a special service. If you're visiting with us tonight, welcome. You've come to a service that we do once a year where we remember those people who we have lost. And we do that two ways here. We'll remember specifically and by name and say a little bit about every single person who we've lost this year who are members of our congregation. And after that's done, we give you an opportunity to come forward, and there's an insert in your bulletin, write the names of some of the people who are on your hearts, who you still miss, whose grief you feel, and place it in the offering plate, and we will lift those people up to the Lord too. Lift up your grief and remember God's strong promises. It's a beautiful service and a comforting one. Of course, our comfort begins and ends and rests in Christ's work for us. And so to begin with, I would like to read a passage from the Gospel of John and then say a few words about it. John 11, I'll read verses 32 through 44. This is the funeral of Lazarus. Jesus comes late to that funeral, 4 days after Lazarus dies. And when he arrives, this is what happens. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who'd come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. And the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there's a bad odor, for he's been there 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen, a cloth around his face, and Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." This is the word of the Lord. After more than 30 years in ministry, and yes, it's been that long, I've been to my share of graveside services. I've done my share of graveside services. And my practice when I do those is always to come a little bit early. Coming early because I feel better if I'm early, but come early just so I can get my head and my heart in the right place before I do this really important thing. And so I'm often there 15 minutes before the start time, and I'm often the first one there. And when I am, I walk around the cemetery. I just walk around and look at the names and look at the places. It's an interesting thing to do. A cemetery is a sobering place. It's a place where the weight of death is strong. You feel the weight of death whether you want to or not. And it's a place where you feel the weakness and frailty of your own existence. And now that I've been in ministry so long, there are some graveyards, say, for instance, Woodlawn Cemetery. That's the one on Kalamazoo by Alger, sort of close to the old Myers. You know that cemetery, Woodlawn Cemetery. I've done so many graveside funerals there. I've known so many people who've been buried there. When I walk through that place and look around, it's like I'm visiting with old friends. There are many names of people I know. At Woodlawn Cemetery, many of the gravestones conjure up memories of particularly hard services. I could point them out. Scott Sharda, David Danhoff, Mike Vanderhart, Diane Quist, many, many others, too many to name. And I remember the faces of the people. I remember what it felt like to be at those gravesides, and I remember all the tears. And when I think about that, it makes me wonder, how many tears have been shed at a place like Woodlawn Cemetery over the years. What is that number? It must be absolutely enormous. It must be more than you could possibly bear. That's why I find it really encouraging that Jesus visited a funeral and then went to a graveside. It's encouraging to think that Jesus went to that place that we find so hard. And as I read to you and as I think about what Jesus did when he went to the graveside of Lazarus, I see three things that Jesus did there. Two things that he shares with us, and one thing he does all by himself, and I want to share them with you tonight. First, at the graveside, Jesus shares our anger. Jesus shares our anger, and he doesn't have much choice because Mary gives him her anger. I hope you heard that when I read it. As soon as she sees Jesus finally arriving at the funeral, Mary marches right up to him and says, "Jesus, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died." That's pretty harsh, right? Those are hard words for a pastor to hear. And what does Jesus do? He absorbs her anger. For many of us, the deaths that we remember, the deaths of the people we're thinking about tonight, carry some anger with them. Angry questions about the situation, maybe anger at God too. Lord, I really needed that person. I could have stood to have her around for a few more years. Lord, why did you take them now? Lord, why did I have to see them go through so much pain? Lord, if you'd been here. Jesus absorbs our anger too. Part of what he comes to this world for, part of what he dies on the cross for, is to bear the weight of all that anger. He also absorbs our anger in another sense. He doesn't just absorb it, he shares it. Verse 33, it says that Jesus is deeply moved in spirit and troubled. If you go and look in the Greek, in that is not just grief, it is also anger. When you picture Jesus being deeply troubled, you should picture his fists clenching and his teeth clenching and his rage starting to rise. Why is Jesus angry? He is angry not at Mary, not at Martha. He's not mad because of what Mary said. He is mad at death. He is furious that death, the evil thing that he's come to conquer, is doing this to his friends. Jesus shares our anger. Jesus also shares our grief. As we think about that part of things, here's an interesting question. Who was it who decided how the verses in the Bible were numbered? Like verse 1, 2, 3, 4. Who decided where verse 1 starts and ends, and verse 2 starts and ends, and verse 3 starts and ends? I've been preaching from this book my whole life, and I realized this week I had no idea who did that and when that started. And so I looked it up. It was somebody named Robert Estienne, and he was a Calvinist. In fact, yeah. Go team. He was a Calvinist. He actually lived at the time of John Calvin. He lived in the 1500s. He lived in Geneva. He published an early edition of the Institutes. He knew John Calvin. I don't know anything more about him other than that he was a publisher and a printer. But I can tell he was a man with the heart of a poet. And he must have been a man who understood grief because of the way he handled verse 35. We know verse 35, right? The shortest verse in the entire Bible. Jesus wept. When he was numbering out those verses, he must have known that those two words needed a frame around them. Those two words were so packed, they needed a whole verse to themselves. Jesus wept. We need that. When we weep, we need to know that Jesus weeps with us. When grief swoops over us like a flood, when one of grief's waves comes and we feel ourselves going under, we need to know that Jesus is under there with us. This verse is so important to every grieving person. It may be the shortest verse in the Bible, but it contains so much. When I think about how many tears have been shed at Woodlawn Cemetery, when I think of how big that number must be, when I realize the weight of the grief of even one person, right? For some of you, the grief that you've gone through, the weight of it feels almost too much for you to bear. Imagine all of the grief in history poured on his shoulders. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Jesus shares our anger. Jesus shares our grief. And the third thing Jesus does is something he does all by himself. He springs into action. Full of anger and grief, he stomps down to the graveside where Lazarus is buried, and he demands that the stone will be removed. Take away the stone, he says. And Martha says, oh no, it'll smell. And he says, no, no, take away the stone. So they do. And then Jesus looks up to heaven, prays for God's blessing, prays that God will show his glory. And then he cries out in a loud voice, a voice loud enough to shake the foundations of hell, a voice loud enough to make death take 5 steps backwards. And he says, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus does. He stumbles into the light. And then Jesus says my favorite words of the whole passage, words that I'm convinced we will all hear a version of over our own graves at the end of all things. Take off the grave clothes and let him go. That's work that only the living God can do. That's work that only the resurrected Lord can do. And it's so costly for him. At first, right, it doesn't seem like it costs him anything to do this miracle. But if you just keep reading, you'll see that it's exactly this miracle that leads the high priest and the others to crucify him. That's the cost. And that crucifixion, when it happens, at first seems like death's victory, but we know it turns out to be death's defeat. Tonight, we will all remember our loved ones. May we remember them in the light of Jesus' compassion and in the light of Jesus' resurrection. May we remember them with gratitude for the gift of them and how God loved us through these people. May we remember them with hope. May we see Jesus' tears, and may we hear him say to them and to us, take off the grave clothes and let them all go. Amen. Let's sing.
Thank you.
We now come to the memorial portion of our service. In a moment, Christy and Chad will read the names of all the people we've lost this year since our last service, and we'll light candles for each of those people. And when that's done, I'll invite you to come forward. You can fill out names in the cards, in the insert in your bulletin, place them in that offering plate, and then take a candle, a votive of here. Christy and Chad will be available to light it. You may place it on the table and then return to your seat. It's a way of remembering God's resurrection promises for us. Now let's hear the names.
Virginia Hahn. Virginia loved baking and knitting. She loved her children, her grandchildren, and her great-grandchildren. She was married to Warren for 69 years.
Dick Bold. Dick worked into his 70s to support his family. He loved cars and planes and mechanical things. He loved walking the Lake Michigan shore with Joan.
Julie Pierce. Julie and Don first met at Dort College when she rebuked him for not going to chapel. They fell in love after college and built a life together. Even when she was sick, she loved her family well, praying for them and making sacrifices for them.
Ron Day. Ron was known for his wry sense of humor, his servant heart, his friendliness, and his gentle, inquisitive spirit. A long-term LaGrave member, Ron deeply loved his Lord, his family, and his fellow church members.
B.J. Widom. B.J. enjoyed a beautiful partnership with her husband, Pete, for 59 years. She never sought the spotlight, but lived out her Christian faith in quiet, humble ways, loving her family, serving the church and community, and being generous with others.
Fran Pruce. Fran was a beloved member of our congregation. She always sat in the back of church, and she was always willing to tell you what she thought. Fran loved camping, traveling, and owls.
Duke Bogard. A man with a strong work ethic, Duke appreciated things being done well, and he encouraged others to do the same. He loved his family deeply and cared well for his wives. Singing was also an important part of his life, so much so that he even started a choir for chapel services when he was in the Navy.
Bea Hook. Bea was an easy person to love. She and Jim were married for 59 years, and together they were a couple whose lives overflowed with blessing for other people. Bea endured multiple bouts of cancer in her lifetime, and out of those struggles, she wrote two books, which gave hope to others.
Reverend Alan Yunsma. Having felt the call to ministry at just 4 years of age, Alan served for over 40 years as a Christian Reformed pastor, where he used his gifts of administration, preaching, and pastoral care. He had a joyful, approachable spirit and a deep love both for his family and his parishioners, many of whom became close friends.
Catherine Dozma. Catherine was a lifelong learner. She loved to read, and even better yet, she liked to discuss what she was reading with other people. She was a retired teacher who lived to see age 100, and she always took an interest in her family, especially what her nieces and nephews were up to.
Bill Post. Bill had a kind, engaging personality that allowed him to make friends easily and to create teams that worked well together. Despite his notoriety, he remained humble and generous, while also giving testimony to God's goodness to the son of an immigrant.
Terry Hooksema. Terry was married to Joyce for 53 years, and all of them were good years. Terry loved Joyce, his children, and all of his grandkids who called him Bop or Papa. Terry loved to laugh with his friends, and he loved to cook for them.
Kathy Krager. Kathy's friends and family remember her gentle presence, quick laugh, her joy in church music, and her perseverance. She had a tenacious faith that sustained her even in the challenges of life.
Joyce Versluis. Joyce passed away on Easter, surrounded by the power of the resurrection. Joyce and Phil had 4 children, and together they loved their children and grandchildren and great-grands too. Joyce was a visionary, and she liked to ask questions and challenge her children.
Ruth Brower. Ruth was social by nature and took a genuine interest in people. She loved visiting, sending cards, and praying for others. She also enjoyed anything chocolate, having cookies and tea, hearing God's word read, and partaking of the Lord's Supper.
Nella Groff. For many years, Nella had the honor of being LaGrave's oldest living member. Although she possessed an independent spirit, Nella showed kindness to others, including giving hugs and extending a welcome to those who came to visit her. She passed away at the age of 102 and left explicit instructions for her funeral service. She said, "Keep it short, simple, and happy."
Annie Collins. Known as friendly and spirited, Annie loved the arts, especially performing and teaching ballet. In her later years, Annie crocheted hundreds of hats for children and cancer patients.
Ruth Van Dam. Ruth loved to garden, to plant flowers, to sew, and to do needlepoint. She cared for her family well, especially her grandchildren, and enjoyed celebrating the birthdays of each person.
Barbara Vashel. Barb loved LaGrave Church. A longtime member, she attended church morning and evening, served on the historical committee, and sang in the choir while also serving as its librarian. No matter the task, she did her work quietly, effectively, and without seeking any accolades.
Wayne Dornbush. Wayne believed in and cared well for other people, including regularly requesting prayers for those he loved and telling them that he hoped they were doing good today. He loved reading, going on adventures, and having conversations with other people.
Bob and Alice Vandertine. Married for over 60 years, Bob and Alice passed away on the same day, just 6 hours apart. Bob loved to sing in choirs, quartets, as a soloist, as a choir director. And Alice was a faithful volunteer, especially during her many years at Bethany Christian Services.
Dick Ortega. Dick was a leader in the local Hispanic community and founder of the West Michigan Chamber of Commerce. Dick was self-effacing and humble, preferring service to recognition. He and Mary were married for 25 years.
Hank Witte. Hank loved to travel. He met Tressa when he was 16, and they traveled together for the rest of their life. Together, they started Witte Travel in 1975, and they helped other people travel, too. He took great joy in his children and grandchildren.
Those are the names of those we've lost this year. I now invite you to write down any names, if you wish, on a sheet, bring them forward, choose a candle and let it be lit, place it on the table as a memorial of them and as a way to lift them up before God. Please come forward. Fred Rosendahl, Joe Batten, Harry Biker, John and Dorothy Sikma, Ray Holgerheide, and Gary Helder, Roger Feenstra, Sadie O'Brien, Ann Postmus, Jack and Harriet Lejeune, Paula Van Inanun, Mina Hedinga, Nick DeRocher, Betty Coy, Brian Dykstra, Susan Dykstra, Lois Dykstra, Thomas Dykstra, Travis Genzink, Sarah Genzink, Gordon Start, Nancy DeVos Stehauer, Betty Vandegreen, Phil Cruz, Jesse Schaefer, Ellie DeGraff, John Huang, Jim and Judith Van Houten Townley, Nancy and Lee Buning, Christine Molker, Howie Vanderwell, Bernard Sternberg, Elizabeth Sternberg, Frederick Sternberg, Evelyn DeVries, John Legwater, May Hooksema, John Cadigan, Kesley Peewee, Marianne Peewee, Esther Peewee Carcer, Robert Peewee, Alice Peewee, Victor Peewee, Alfred Benson, Sarah Benson, Dale Vanderveen. John Haverkamp, Connie DeHaan, Peter and Millie Buma, Timothy Reist, Paul Dominguez, Bob DeVlieger, Clarence and Danette Tornga, Ace Knitter, Cheryl Lindemann Ball, Jim Penning, Nancy Bolt, William and Francis Wurst, Harry and Helen Boersma, Ed Boersma, Virginia Alkenbrack, Elizabeth Corcoran, Ben Seagard, John Van Hecken Sr., Jim Hoekstra, Shirley Schwartzma, David Deheer, Larry Smith, Linda Nagel, Jim Berman, Tom Penning, Roland and Ellen Schroeder, Beth Bowes, Julie and Ryan Veneman, Bernie and Alice Toll, Jim Hoekstra, Joe and Jane Haveman, Mary Haveman and Tom Haveman, Linda Nagel, Charles Carr, Linda Umstead, Tom Hogeboom, Ruth Hagee Wurst, Marlene Vachteveen, Turk Battenberg, Elizabeth Battenberg, Lloyd Warners, Melissa Bolkins, Doug Hogerheide, Harold Van Eerden, Vern Meyer, Natasha Meyer Turner, Larry Smith and Anna Day, John and Jane Damon, Erwin and Hermione Loesch, Ron Stevens, Peter and Rainey Nortier, Jeffrey Searle, Ralph Andersma, Cal Hooksma, Martin Nagel, Ron Koistra, Matt Koistra, Jim Sanderson, Scott Sharda, Annie Buter. Let's join our hearts in the prayer printed in your bulletin, the memorial prayer. Let's say together, Merciful God, we praise you for these departed friends and loved ones. They were gifts from you, and through them you enriched our lives. Into your hands we have committed their spirits. Comfort us with the strong hope of the resurrection. And when our race is run, bring us to be with them in the light of your eternal presence. Through Jesus Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. Almighty God, as we remember these loved ones and give thanks for them, and as we remember these loved ones and mourn for them, help us now to turn our face towards living. Father, we give you thanks for this gift of life. And now, just as these people whom we mourn have loved us well, help us to go out into the world and love each other well. Help us to love each other with patience and kindness. Help us to love each other with joy and playfulness. Help us to love each other with mercy and sacrifice. Help us to love each other with attention and listening. Help us to love each other with the knowledge that our life is a gift and that people are a gift and that your mercies are new every morning and your resurrection promises are stronger than the grave. We've been sad in this place, but may we leave here in hope and joy. Send your comforting spirit on us so that we can leave here saying, it is well with our soul. Amen. As a testament to our good hope that we have in Jesus Christ, let's rise together and say these words of confession from Our World Belongs to God, words that talk about our end time hope. We long for that day when our bodies are raised, when the Lord wipes away our tears, and we dwell forever in the presence of the Lord. We will take our place in the new creation, where there will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, and the Lord will be our light. Come, Lord Jesus, come.
On that day, we will see our Savior face to face, sacrifice lamb and triumphant king, just and gracious. He will set all things right, judge evil, and condemn the wicked. We face that day without fear, for the judge is our Savior, who shed blood declares us righteous. We live confidently, anticipating His coming, offering Him our daily lives, our acts of kindness, our loyalty, and our love, knowing that He will weave even our sins and sorrows into His sovereign purposes. Come, Lord Jesus.
In a moment, I will bless you. Just a reminder, after the service, there are refreshments in the MPR down your hall and to the right. We hope you'll be able to join us. Now receive the blessing of your Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. And may the peace that passeth all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus your Lord.
Amen.